Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It has been a while. The dynamic duo back here at it again. Buon Natale fatta tutti. This is the end of year review. We're going to be talking about Sydney Sweeney. Scusate. We're going to talk about Milan 3-0 win. The football segment. We're going to talk about the news. Stevie P, we had some freezing rain today, but you know, we're going to keep warm. We're going to keep warm with a nice 3-0 win. Let's get straight into it. Unless you know what? Just give us the let's go and come and jump.
Let's go. The mighty Folcore is here.
The who? Folcore. Jesus Christ. Hold on. Cari amici sportivi, welcome to another edition of the Milan Weekly Podcast, the last one of 2025, end of year review, maybe una bella 3-0, tre pere per il Milan. And yes, there is a survey, guys. There's a nice little survey. Stevie P, put that up there on the YouTube. Please comment on that one. Stevie P, Vinny T, faithfully here. It is December 29th. We got freezing rain today, Steve. Thank God you don't have to get out of the house today, but I had to go to work. It is what it is, but how you been? Steve, how you been since you went a little viral since last time I saw you? You pushed a little buttons there because you said that the EPL is not exciting, and oh my goodness, did the people come after you. And I remember Andrew Dice Clay in one of his comedy specials back in the 80s. He used to go, he goes, they're going to hate that so fucking much. And then he goes, and I'm going to love that so fucking much because you just love it. But CVP, going viral, how you doing, dude? And do you take anything back from these comments of the EPL?
Absolutely not. I never take anything back. EPL still sucks. Donkey dick. Terrible games this weekend as well. And you know how I am. I'm straight down the line. After watching Roma-Genoa was just as bad. But still, EPL sucks donkey dick. Terrible games this weekend. They can make it all they want. Fancy grass, fancy graphics, great with VAR. But the soccer is shit.
You know, guys, would it be on TikTok viral videos? Would it be on the Instagram machine? Would it be on here? We're playing this Friday, coast to coast, by go on. But the most important thing is, guys, please, Stevie P, they got to click. They got to click on the bell. They got to subscribe. It helps us and your algorithms. Let your people know, your uncles, un nonno, your neighbors. Nonna Lacrima, too. She's a subscriber, Steve. Nonna Lacrima, right? You gotta hit
subscribers, guys. So important to the channel. You know, it gets YouTube warmed up, and it gets our content out to, you know, people that might not know about Milan Weekly Podcast if you've been hiding under a rock. But besides that, guys, super chats are open as well. Super chats, if you really want to be heard. If you come from another club, you know my rule. If you come from another club other than Milan, if you want to see your question on the screen and you want to get answered, you gotta pay. Everybody else, Milan faithful, love the super chats, guys. Great for us, great for the channel, and lets us do multiple things for your viewing pleasure.
And on that note, too, would it be super chats and to Patreon faithfully subscribing every single month? We're gonna hit up Vinny Mancini's question after that. Steve, did you notice, what is this? Like on YouTube, everybody's got a number now on the their ads. It is what it is, guys. YouTube, Kachivova.
Great Steve, stuff. Let's go. Let's get into it.
6:30 in the morning. Raleigh with his bright ideas. Milan Club Montreal. Let's go to Chocharo's. It's 6:30 in the morning. We're there. We're watching. Myself, Cousin Johnny, Bizak, and... you know, it was not the easiest of first halves, and I wanted to ask you, looking at this first half, what were the differences between dominant Milan, right? But it was like I'm feeling like this Milan that I'm seeing in the past, you know. But in the end, yes, the goal came from Captain America. But how did you perceive this first half? Did you feel it dominant? Because guys, Verona. Did they even touch the ball? It's just like, you know, how did you take this first half?
Look, it was better than other halves that we've had against the bottom half teams. I liked Milan's attitude. I liked that they had a lot of the possession. I would have liked to see a little bit more chances on goal, a little bit more clinical in the final third. And I really wanted them to be the first to get on the scoreboard. I didn't want this to be a Sassuolo where we would have some possession, not capitalize on the chances that we had, and then end up being 1-0 against teams like this. Then they go into this fortress of a low block that we have to break, and you know how it is. We're just not clinical in the final third. Happy for Christian Pulisic. With all the drama this week, Christian Pulisic said, F you to all. F you to all. And we've been saying it here, Vinny. The newspapers need to be held accountable for shit like this. We might talk about it now. We might talk about it later. But Pulisic says, I do my talking on the field. Boom. 1-0.
And yes, definitely 1-0 there. And he did pull the little heart, dedicated the goal to her. Let's talk about it now, Steve. You know what the worst part about all of this is? That I think all of us, and even non-Milan fans, right? We knew that this wasn't really true, but people are talking about it. And what did Pulisic say? It's like, this ruins people's lives. And I know it didn't come directly from Gazzetta dello Sport, but what day and age are we that guys like me and you can come up with something like this and all of a sudden it's picked up from Gazzetta? People need to be held accountable because... What if Pulisic's girlfriend's a crazy, jealous girl and starts believing this kind of shit? It gets in a player's head. But if Gazzetta did really pick up this, I don't know. That's what I read. But shame on them, Steve, like Sydney Sweeney. You see pictures of him in the holidays with his girlfriend. Come on, guys. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this is something that, unfortunately, for how good social media is, this is the dark side of social media. Again, not so... something that that people want in their personal lives. First of all, I just think that going into someone's personal lives and assuming or coming up with some fictitious story to get clicks or to get, you know, airtime is absolutely crazy. But now that you're going into someone's personal life who is in a relationship and making up a rumor that he is dating someone else, it's just a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game. And I think people need to be held accountable for it. If newspapers do pick up on that, which, again, for as much as we go against Gazzetta dello Sport and what they do, I'm pretty sure they go with sources and stuff. So I don't know if they did or did not. If they did, vergogna that they picked it up. If they did not, this is just the wildfire that is social media, right? There's people that create good content and have so much trouble getting out there. And then there's people who make up things like this. And unfortunately, you know, now we're in a time where evil and bad news sells. So people want to click on these types of articles.
On a positive note, they come up with the stat there. We're watching on the feed. And they were Pulisic 3 years, 50 goals, Leao 40. Been given the importance that this player has. I know they were saying like a goal every two shots, three shots, Steve. Is this, wow, what a player, head on his shoulder. Doesn't draw attention other than people trying to draw attention from him, but what a player, Steve. Honestly, it's just like, let's give him his flowers because Milan without this guy, right, had a hard, we had a hard season last year, but the importance of Pulisic to the squad, according to you?
Right now, I think he's the most important player. The most important player, just because of statistically, you know, he gets involved in a lot of the either scoring goals or assisting goals. I think he brings a certain type of energy. I think he brings a certain type of like construction man, you know, blue collar type of work ethic on the pressing. I think that he does so much off the ball that we don't, you know, we don't necessarily pay attention to, or we don't necessarily doesn't necessarily end up in one of these next gen stats, right? But I'm surprised. I did not think that, you know, Pulisic would become and mold himself into the player that he's become right now. I would be lying if I said, oh, this was a foregone conclusion. We get him from Chelsea, and absolutely he's going to turn Milan around. He's going to be their best player. Now this, you know, this is the healthy competition that we need. I hope that for just Milan's sake, that Leao watches this, because there was a great, great interview with Paolo Di Canio, and he said, Milan goes the way Pulisic goes. Milan doesn't go the way Leao goes anymore. And depending on the formation, that's his opinion, he sees Leao having a hard time finding minutes on the starting lineup. Now, for me, I don't see that being something that can happen, because Leao is as dynamic, if not more dynamic than Pulisic. The problem is that Leao, his body language is completely the opposite of Pulisic.
That's very well said. You know what? Because we're speaking of Pulisic, Steve, you know, we win 3-0. People were going to get into the Nkunku goals, and people, ma quello è veramente rigore. But other people, what they like to talk about, Steve, Sandro Sabatini, believe in Juventino, Pulisic all'Inter, he would be riding the bench. And he said, you know, del Milan giocherebbero Magna, Modric, Rabiot, Pulisic would ride the bench. Steve, and what did you say to me before? And they pay these people.
This guy is paid, guys. This guy is paid to say things like this, and no one puts him in his place. And I wish we could go back to the 80s and the 90s TV, where if someone would have came out with that, they would have got a slap. This is a foregone conclusion slap in the face. You know, we don't deny the fact that Inter, you know, on paper, and look, even now, halfway through the season, is the strongest team in Serie A. But you cannot tell me that Christian Pulisic, in the current form that he is now, rides the bench at Inter. I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen.
It's just like, you know what? They keep on talking about us, Steve. They just like to talk about us. So, you know what? Let them speak. Let them speak. Steve, we go get, what did you call him? Folklore.
That's his new name.
So we go get this guy, right? He's sitting in Stamp over there. And because Nkunku hasn't been performing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Leave it to Milan. Nkunku, gol da rigore. Goal from a nice, well, let's call it assist from Modric, Steve. Is this a good problem to have? I'm happy for the guy. And I felt that once he scored, even the players on the side came up to him, and it just felt that team kind of chemistry, team kind of, you know, team spirit, that they were all happy for him. Is this a good problem to have?
It's a good problem to have when you play more than once a week. I don't think right now it's a great problem to have, because we're not going to be able to find minutes for these guys. And what happens when you can't find minutes for these guys? You kind of lose them along the way. So Nkuku scoring the two goals, fantastic. The stupid balloon has to stop. Like you like this is not something that Vinny we can take serious. This is not something that Milan. I'm sorry.
This is stuff
that even in the NFL, okay? So even in North American football, this is not even tolerated. And now you're telling me that if you score a last-minute goal in the final minutes and you go crazy and you go to La Curva and you take off your jersey and you celebrate, that's a yellow card. But you blow a balloon like a clown after you haven't scored in 19 years, that's not a card. So for me, that's not Da Milan. I'm not a balloon type of guy. I'm happy that he scored two goals. I'm happy that now, right now, if we would go back 5 years when Nkuku and Folklore were in the Bundesliga, we would have the top two scorers of the Bundesliga. That's what we have right now. You understand? But the thing is that Vinny, these guys will struggle to find minutes because we don't have enough minutes to play. We're out of Coppa Italia. We lost the Super Cup. We don't have enough minutes to give everybody now. This is going to be Allegri having to manage. And again, the goal is to win the Scudetto. So I don't care who plays right now. I really don't. If Leao has to sit, Leao sits if he has to sit. I want to win the Scudetto. We have one competition. The best 11 need to play week in and week out, barring injury. And then it's up to him to find minutes for them.
You know, maybe with his two goals, maybe we'll be able to sell him and recuperate some money. Who knows? I think it will be a mistake because we have one injury. And look, we're struggling the way we're struggling. But, you know, all in all, is it just Verona? Was this an end-of-year statement, according to you? Verona just completely sucks, Steve. I know that they, you know, with Atalanta and Inter, they had great performances, but they just didn't show up. And do you see this more as a team effort, end-of-year statement, or, guys, we're supposed to be beating Verona 3-0, whether it's the last game of the season or not?
This, for me, is a combination of two of the things that you said. I think it's an end-of-the-year statement. I think the way we beat Verona convincingly is what Milan should be doing to the bottom half teams. Just because of the quality that you see on the pitch, the quality of Milan in this game, at home, protecting home, winning 3-0 and keeping a clean sheet. And really, Mike Maignan is the least rated in Gazzetta dello Sport. And it really says he's the least rated because he didn't have anything to do.
He really had nothing to do, you know. One guy that, Steve, you know what? You called him out, played well in the first 7-8 games of the season. Steve, 20 minutes in, I was wondering, I had to go back and look at the lineup of Salamakers was in this starting lineup. Something to worry about. I just felt he would be my flop of the match because I didn't see him, Steve. I saw him complain a bit to the ref about something, but Ralib was saying that you need to call him out again. And something to worry about on Salamakers, or is it just, I don't know. What did you think of his performance?
So Salamakers is someone who might have to sit if we need to fit Leao into some sort of formation of a 3-5-2. And I think Leao bringing him back to, you know, to the middle of the park and surrounding him with people that are going to make up for his defensive or lack of defensive knowledge or soccer knowledge is what's going to make or break Milan if Salamakers continues on this path. We said it. He needs to keep things simple. He needs to be involved in the game. When he's not involved, it's very, very easy to call out Salamaker. I agree with Ralib. I agree with you. Salamaker, for me, is the flop of the match just because these are the type of games where he would traditionally, and at the beginning of the year, he did take over.
He definitely did, you know. Top, would you, is Nkunku your easy choice? I found that Rabiot had a fantastic game as well. Would it be the header? Had a couple of headers into the box. Modric, it was a couple of games that he wasn't, well, at the top, Stevie, because he got us used to playing so very good. But other than Nkunku, who else did you like in this
game?
I
think Rabiot was good. I had no problems with Nkunku up front. Christian Pulisic, those three are really the ones that really, you know, strike something very, very important. For me, man of the match is Allegri as well, because I think he managed his minutes very well. When I saw the change of, you know, Modric coming out at the 70th minute, this is what we need to do. We need to reduce some of his, you know, some of his playing time. And in games like this, this is the frustration on, you know, that I try to portray through this podcast and through the content that we create when we, you know, when we struggle against the bottom half teams, is because this is where we lose the opportunity to, you know, rest Modric. Because whether we like it or not, in that midfield, now Rabiot is not the same type of player, but if we lose Modric in that midfield, we kind of lose a lot of the momentum that we've acquired in the first half of the season. So the problem with that is he's 40 years old. We need to, at certain points, be able to give this guy a rest. Now, Christmas and the dark days of January are coming, but in that midfield, we're one injury away, and it's Modric, from having a completely different midfield that I don't know if we'll be able to dominate like we did today, or like we did against Naples, or like we did against Inter. This is the tricky part, right?
Stop playing to your opponent's level.
He's so important. He's so important to Milan. Just with a lot of the things, similar to what we said about Pulisic and the work rate. It's the general in the midfield that I've been calling for about 20 years now. 20 years.
True, yeah.
After Pirlo, we were missing the general in the midfield that needed to control the tempo of the game. Modric does that. The problem is he's 40 years old.
Guys, stay tuned, because after the football, I'm going to ask if you were going to discuss, you know, like, year-end reviews, like, would it be our positives, our concerns? And Stevie P, how do you feel at 3-0, subbing in five players, and Stupinan is still on the bench, and Bartesaghi keeps on playing? I felt bad. It's like, Bartesaghi's, you know, but you're putting everybody in, and Stupinan, how do you call him? Stupinante? Stupidente. But yeah, guys, so stick around. We're going to do a little FUBO, and then we're going to do some, you know, our hits and miss for the season so far. So on that note, Stevie P, shall we look at week 17 of the Serie A in Italy? This segment is brought to you by FUBO.TV, your home for all things Serie A and Stevie P's favorite, DEPL, e se può anche ascoltare in italiano, solamente la Serie A. Steve.
Fiorentina sucks. We can go on to the next one. That's how quickly this is. The Fiorentina is really in trouble, guys. I can't believe that they can't figure it out. After a 5-1 win from last week, they lose to Parma 1-0. This is Fiorentina finishing 2025 at the bottom of Serie A.
You know what I'm most worried about? How much of a ball buster team they're going to be when there's going to be 10 to 8 games left. That's what I'm worried about, and we shall see. Como, super Nico Paz with the goal and the assist. 3-0 away from home. Steve, anything to take away from Como? Like, it just seems like when they have a kind of a bad performance and they just bounce back. Definitely bounce back and a convincing win.
This is important. Away from home, 3 points. I know it's Lecce, but that was an important win for Como.
Definitely. Cagliari taking home the 3 points away from home. Torino, Torino, Steve, I know we like to call Lazio Jekyll and Hyde the last 10, 12 years we've been doing this, but Torino this year, I don't know, man. You just can't figure them out. And even them, you know, we're going to look at the standings, but Torino, we think they're going to be another ball buster, or with Signor Cairo there at the helm of the team.
Torino need to fix a lot of stuff defensively. They're really bad. They let in a lot of goals. It's not typical of a Torino team. Look, just Torino's just a strange team. I think they could be so much better, but they keep on losing points, and losing points to Cagliari at home is not the recipe, and not a great recipe to end 2025.
Udinese leaving it very, very late, Steve. And once again, Lazio, refereeing mistakes always against us, Steve. Always against us, but 1-1.
Someone should have told Lazio that the game started, because it didn't seem like Lazio figured out that the game started. Udine didn't do anything better than Lazio. It was one of those terrible games of Serie A.
Another terrible game of Serie A, Steve. And I know we keep on saying it. History books are going to say exactly what you see on the screen now. 2-0, Juve away from home at Pisa, and they left it late. I know they declared an own goal and yielded the scoring, but supposedly Spalletti, Steve, he got mad. He got mad in the dressing room, and he says, you need to react. You are Juventus. And I don't know how you would scream in that voice. I don't know if you want to try to scream in Spalletti's voice. Do you want to give it a try?
No. I don't want to be anything Juventino.
Takeaways from this game.
Look, they're getting the job done. We've said it, you know, in years past.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is a game that they needed to win, and they won. They're away from home. It's the last game before, you know, a little mini break for New Year's. This is the type of soccer that you're going to see in this match day, right? But, you know, this is Juve. Juve is just not a very good team, guys. Like, I can't put it more straightforward than that. And Juventini will hear this and say, oh, but you're a homer. They do nothing good. No, they don't do anything good. They really don't do anything good. Their striking is subpar. Their midfield is terrible. Their defense is terrible. And their goaler is questionable. So what he's doing right now is a modern day miracle. Like, chalk it up as a win and figure shit out.
For this front page, and this is going to be for Liban Youssef, yeah, it was a couple of goals. And let's look at the other games. Napoli, Steve, got the job done, right? Cremonese
did nothing
on this one. No surprise here. Napoli taking away the 3 points. Bologna, Sassuolo, 1-1. Bologna, there may be signs of a bit of fatigue, Steve, or maybe Bologna actually playing the way Bologna should be playing here. But good for Sassuolo.
Yeah, Sassuolo getting that. Like, a tough game for Bologna after having to go play in Saudi Arabia, part of the Super Cup series. I just don't think Bologna's used to that type of travel, you know, in the middle of the campionato. And I think this, you saw it a bit at home near the end. They lost a bit of their identity and what they like to do. Even subbing out Orsolini at a certain point, Italiano was like, and he didn't have his best game, which was a great sub and a ballsy sub on his part. That's what it is now. The 3 times a week is going to be a very pressure cooker on these teams that are not used to playing 3 times a week.
Atalanta. I don't know, Steve. Atalanta, it just seemed... How many goals offside did they
Atalanta,
get?
Atalanta needs to just play in the Champions League. That seems like where they're focusing on. You know, Lookman in the AFCON Cup. I'll have something to finish off Milan Weekly Podcast talking about the AFCON Cup. But look, Atalanta at home against Inter, they had some chances. They didn't bury them. Inter.
That Samardzic. Anyways.
The Samardzic miss is why he doesn't start games and why he will probably be sold in the January transfer window. Again, it's very tough to dissect a game like this when, you know, Inter is understanding and knows what they need to do away from home at Atalanta, and Atalanta is not performing.
They capitalize on their mistake, Steve. They capitalize on that mistake.
Yeah,
and this came out and won nothing.
Jim City is is not one to make those types of mistakes, but he did, and that's what good teams do. They go to a good team like Atalanta away, and they come home with 3 points.
Steve, Roma scored 3 goals, Steve, in one game.
Genoa is terrible. I watched this game. I wanted to watch today. I sat down, and after 30 something minutes, I turned to myself in, you know, and there's no one to talk to, and I said, Genoa is terrible. And, you know, De Rossi as a player, I will forever be grateful for him. He's part of that 2006 World Cup team. But I just don't think that he's at the level for Serie A. I'm around a lot of people just because of local soccer who do a lot of work with coaching. It takes a lot. The name is just not enough these days. You need to have an idea. You need to have a methodology. You need to have an identity. Genoa's identity today was completely lost. And how they even scored a goal, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't even see that goal because at 3-0, 70-something minute, I left it because the game was just that bad. And, you know, this is Roma taking care of business at home. Getting back in fourth place. And this is, you know, what Milan struggled with throughout the season, which doesn't find them in first place. Is taking care of business against these teams where, you know, they needed to get the 3 points.
A question to you, Steve. We're in discussion this morning. For you, even though it means absolutely nothing, even though they had an article today, Campione d'Inverno. For you, a Campione d'Inverno, is it after 19 weeks or before the new year?
Campione d'Inverno is La Scarogna of La Serie A. Campione d'Inverno is La Scarogna della Serie A. I don't want to be Campione d'Inverno. It's a made-up, stupid newspaper thing. And it sucks of ass.
I will give you one interesting fact, Steve, of this in Campione d'Inverno. The only player to be Campione d'Inverno with their team and losing it 2 years in a row, Hakan Çalhanoğlu. Campione d'Inverno with Inter, Milan wins the Scudetto. Campione d'Inverno with Milan and Inter wins the Scudetto. But looking at this,
that's all. 17 non weeks. Non c'è due senza tre.
Boom. Non c'è due senza tre. You know, Inter 36, and good on them because, you know what, 6-7 weeks ago, they were trailing, but, you know, Napoli losing points, Milan, you know, Milan is up there, but how exciting is this, Steve? 36 to 27 points between first and sixth. Let's go with your pleasantly surprised on this one after 17 weeks. Are you still with the Como there in 27 points?
Como's a nice story. I like Como at 27 points ahead of Bologna. Look, guys, if you look at all those teams, and I'm pretty sure if you bring up their salaries, I'm pretty sure they bypass Como by a lot. So it's a really cool project that they have there. They have owners that believe in the project. They believe in the coach. And they believe that Como could crack that top four. And right now, it's not a foregone conclusion for Juventus and Roma to stay in the four. Actually, it's not a foregone conclusion for any of the teams to stay in the top four. You don't know what happens in the second half of the season.
Tight race, you know, like I'm surprised to see Atalanta only at 22 points. Pleasantly surprised to see Sassuolo at 22. Cremonese as well, 21. Steve, I know, you know, we like to talk about Fiorentina, but even Fiorentina, I know they're at 9 points. Looking at that, like how bad is Pisa at 11? How bad is Verona at 12? Genoa at 14? Lecce at 16? Nothing's lost there for those teams there. But when was the last time you saw the Serie A? Would it be top or bottom, this kind of like excitement, even after 17 weeks?
It's been a long time. For me, what's a bit worrying is, you know, seeing Genoa play today, seeing Verona play against Milan, and seeing Pisa play against Juve. For me, I don't think that of those, and Lecce, to say, let's put Lecce in there too. I don't think Fiorentina is the worst, is in the bottom three of those teams.
Yeah.
That's what I can't wrap my head around. I can't wrap my head around why Fiorentina sits at 9 points when Pisa, Verona, Genoa, Lecce, I'm not going to say Parma because Parma just beat them. And not only that, I think Parma plays well. But of those five teams, I don't think Fiorentina belongs there.
Still lots of football to be played. You guys remember that all four teams that were in the Supercoppa taking back the games, I believe I saw was mid-January. We'll see where that goes. So you still have Inter, Milan, Napoli, and Bologna with one game in hand. We shall see how that goes. And on that note, that segment was brought to you by Fubo.tv, your home for all things Serie A here in Canada. Steve, I mentioned it before we went to the segment here. I want to ask you your interview. And guys, yeah, we're not going to go back to January 2025. Let's go, but this season here. For you, right, give me your positive of this one. Would it be, I don't know, the defensive structure that Allegri put it, the youth contribution, let's go Bartesaghi contribution on that one. The attack, well, but the balance. Give me a positive that you've seen. A positive, let's go with this one, a positive that you weren't expecting after week number one.
I wasn't expecting them to be defensively organized as they are right now. I tip my hat to Allegri. It's something that you know he fixed right away.
The defensive organization. Nice.
Look, Bartesaghi is a nice thing. I just don't think that we do it enough. And you know, with Camarda going out on loan, and you know the other stuff that we had, the problems that we had with Milan Futuro in the past. Is not something that's going to win me over. But for me, I could sum this up very simple. For me, the first half of the season for Milan is a C. And it's a C not because we sit in second place. It's a C because of the way we played against teams that we should have beat and probably been at the top of the table. It's a C because we had the competition like Coppa Italia where unfortunately Milan struggles in that competition. And I think we had the depth to play and to compete in Coppa Italia and have games for minutes of players that might not find minutes and experience during the season. And C, going to Saudi Arabia, whether we like it or not, was an opportunity for Milan to win some sort of trophy right away. And not to say, hey, we want it and relax. But again, just to start getting that identity back. I want them to get the identity back that we are Milan. And when you come to San Siro or you play Milan, you should be worried that you're going to play a team that's going to give you 150-something percent to get 3 points.
I'm going to go with the defensive consistency, because the amount of goals that we were giving up last season, I know we haven't been perfect, but that was a nice improvement from last year. My concern, Steve, what I'm going to say, and I've mentioned it several times, is that playing once a week, even though we had those Coppa Italia games, is that with the injuries that we've suffered, what my concern was, you ain't going to three games a week with this kind of team if we're struggling to find replacements with these kind of injuries. Were injuries a concern to you? Or maybe you have your own concerns, what you've seen so far in 2025 for Milan?
For me, my concern is obviously in the final third. I just think with that amount of money that you spent at the beginning of the year, it's impossible that you had to reassess again in January. Jimenez is for me a complete flop, and I'm sad to say that I was completely wrong about him. Now, has he been dealing with this ankle injury for so long and no one knew? I would be very, very surprised that we signed him with an ankle injury, or, you know, Milan Lab or Milan had him continuing to play with this with an ankle injury that needed an operation. And, you know, signing Ngoku and, you know, not being able to find the number nine, not for the management, not to address the problem that we have at the center back, you know, one injury to Gabbia and we need to put in De Winter, who we thought would be, you know, someone young, someone that Allegri had at Juve.
Not good.
And not still good, Steve. Not good. For me, that's the problem. You know, Yashiri getting injured and now putting him into some of the games. For me, the biggest thing, and I think the importance for Milan for longevity in the midfield, is to get Samuel Ricci minutes. He needs more minutes. It's not Yashiri. It's not anybody else. It's not a Stupinente. It's not Ruben Loftus-Cheek. It's Samuel Ricci needs to find minutes in this Milan midfield, right by the side of Luka Modric, to learn how to be somewhat of a general. I'm not saying Samuel Ricci is Luka Modric, but oh man, if I would be able to, you know, if I was in Ricci's shoes, I would soak up and follow this man and do exactly what he does every day to try to be something like him.
You know, we could talk about how Tari did a fantastic job getting the money for the players we got rid of. But, you know, when you're spending that kind of money for Nkunku, that kind of money for Ricci, that kind of money for Jashari, and Steve, I'm not convinced that if Jashari wasn't hurt, I don't think he'd be starting. So I think that's a bit of a concern to me, the investment in these kind of players. So you're going a C grade so far for you. I'm gonna go with you know me, always glass half full. I'm gonna go with a B on this one. Steve, let's go. Vinny Mancini, who is in the comments right now, he just wanted to give us a little question. Hey, gentlemen, I hope you had an amazing Christmas with you and your family. To you as well, Vinny. With Bartesaghi being exactly what Milan and other Italian teams need to see, and now that we have a wonderful young Italian talent that we can grow into a pillar piece for the squad with time, how much do you think Jerry puts him on sale for? 35, 40. They were talking about this, that they heard a rumor that, you know, from the EPL, and, you know, you got to love the rumors. But if somebody came a knocking, Steve, with 50, would you not sell Bartesaghi for 50?
Look, right now, no. Because I think Milan need to think of what the project is. And the project is right now being able to win a championship in a year when you're playing one competition. Then move on to, you know, what we want to do next year if we finish in the top four and playing more than once a week. And I think the Italian talent, guys, we've been seeing it. As soon as the Italian talent goes out to these other leagues, we lose. We lose these players. These players go to the EPL and it's a binga-bonga, binga-bonga, binga-bonga. Guys, whether you like it or not, that's what it is. And this is not the game that they're used to playing. And what happens when they go to the EPL? They cannot come back, and they come back and we kind of have to remold them, re-engineer them again so that they perform for the national team. It's just, you know, I get it. You're going to go to the EPL because financially you will secure money that your kids' kids will have for who knows how long. But I think career-wise, I think that would be a bad move for him. bad move.
And we shall see what the January transfer, I don't know if we are going to move, we shall see. Fulkrug may be starting on Friday, Steve, or you call him Folklore. Would it be, guys, we mentioned at the beginning, you know, check us out on TikTok where Steve's going to go viral again, making fun of the EPL. Steve, how's Vintage Pitch going along? I know it's getting more and more popular. I know it made it all the way to Europe. I think, who was it, Ian got a t-shirt there. Where are you shipping nowadays, Steve? What's your furthest away distance?
Pretty much ship everywhere. Ship everywhere, guys. Vintage Pitch Apparel, check us out. Great stuff for Milan Weekly Podcast if you want to support the podcast in another way and wear your Milan Weekly Podcast colors. Milan Club Montreal stuff, great collaborations, you know, with local companies here in Montreal. And guys, I'm open to collaborations with anybody who wants to collaborate because it's the story, it's telling a story to our through our apparel. You know, Facebook Frank is our representative there in Toronto. He's going to get the t-shirts out in the 416. World Cup, great project with the World Cup, guys. Big news coming up, Vintage Pitch in the World Cup. But guys, it's a passion project. I've said it multiple times. Check us out, vintagepitch.com. Follow us on social media. There's a Boxing Day sale, guys. Boxing Week sale. No coupon across the site. Great specials. Check us out. Combos. There's the bundles now. We're going crazy. We are going to the next level of Vintage Pitch.
And if we haven't mentioned it before, guys, these fucking shirts are comfortable. They're fantastic. And they ain't the ones that you buy at the other dollar store. We'll leave it at that. Steve, if I would have to tell you without looking at the poll, right? Put up a poll. What stood out the most against Verona? What do you think our fans, what did they vote for? Nkunku's brace, Pulisic statement goal, overall team performance, squad depth heading into January. What do you think is having the most percentage right now as an answer?
Balloon Man's brace.
Balloon Man is at 35. Pulisic, 42% with the 26 votes. Guys, go vote in there. Let us know what your grade, what would you give your grade of this season so far. But we are playing on Friday, CVP. We need to not only finish 2025 in the right manner, we need to start 2026 in the right manner. In the end, any parting shots? Let's give it up, guys. I'm just going to say thank you so very much for once again. It's 2025. I've been doing this since 2012. For your support, for your contributions, Patreon, your live viewers, downloaders, everything. To Fabio, to Gio, to Jan, especially Marcello, right? To Terry, helping us out with the graphics. Thank you so very much. To everybody, a happy holiday season. You guys are what make us want to do even more and more and more. Thank you for everything. I hope everybody has a fantastic new year. Don't drink and drive. And that's what I got. And always, may your glass be half full, alla Viniti. Stevie P?
Guys, I'll leave you with this. The last time I was on, we talked about the EPL. We went a little bit crazy. It was cool. My son is here. He just doesn't care that we're on live, and he's going to go upstairs. But thanks, Gianfranco. You're welcome. He even says you're welcome. I'm going to leave you with this, guys. The last time I spoke about the EPL, I said, you know, the binga bonga soccer that was there. I found something to take over that, guys. It's a fucking competition that happened smack in the middle of the year. For some goddamn reason, they can't fix it.
Yes.
I think they're going to fix it. Now they're going to stretch it out. It might be spread out over more years. Thanks to everybody. But you really pick out these players in the middle of a season to go play this kind of Euro-style tournament. It's the AFCON Cup. If you thought EPL was bing-a-bong, go on Fubo TV. They have these AFCON games. Guys, and you sit. And I'm going to apologize now to Raleeb and Bizak and Medzi because I know you guys are Algerian. I know you watched that game yesterday. I'm good. Algeria, great. But, you know, some of the teams that I've been watching in this AFCON Cup, guys, there's players there. There's top end players there. But the football and the organization and the refereeing is worse. Refereeing worse than Serie A. Soccer worse than EPL. Worse. Vinny, worse. Now, I understand that this cup needs to take place. I understand. It has to take place.
100%.
They just need to figure out a way where it's not in the middle of the season. It cannot. And, you know, the 2020, the World Cup, Qatari World Cup was done in the middle of the season. Because, yeah, Qatari, great. But again, it's not something that's supposed to be normal, guys. You cannot stop these seasons and these players and asking them to do so much when you're going to have to leave. And, you know, Atalanta, no Lookman, right? Mm. In the past, we've lost Bennacer for a couple of months. We've lost Kessié for a couple of months. I'm not even going to say the other players. They don't even come to mind how many other teams lose in the middle of the year. This also brings down the value of the African players. Because if you're sitting in a team and this player needs to leave for X number of weeks during the middle part of the season, which is probably one of the most important, well, now you're not signing these players now. And you've seen Milan transition to that, where we've had some African players in the past who belong in the AFCON let's say region, and now we don't have anymore because we would lose them and we would not have anybody to replace them.
Some of them got hurt.
So for me, yes, some of them even got hurt, and we missed them not only for those weeks but for much more. I just leave you guys with that. The AFCON Cup, if you want to watch some fantastic soccer, go check them out on Fubo.
Oh my God, the binga bong is going to make it on TikTok once again. Stevie P, I fucking love you. Yes, Facebook Frank, I'm going to learn how to make true TikTok videos instead of me relying on Stevie P or Fabio. We're going to do you an Iron Sheik one. We're going to do a John Cena one. Don't you worry about it. All in 2026. And on that note, guys, to all, a happy new year. We shall see each other maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. I don't know. Fabio and Gio, we'll see what goes on. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. And on that note, ovunque sempre, guys. Forza Milan. Ciao.